Good morning. Tommy, do you still love the Lord? Okay, by the end of today, I promise you, you will love the Lord as your personal Savior. Amen. God's alive and well and active, and He's busy acting on your and my behalf. He's interceding for you for whatever you might be going through right now. He's sitting at the right hand of God the Father. He's our great intercessor. He's the one that is now acting on our behalf. And you need to believe that. Because we go through some stuff where we feel we're all alone, right? You feel like you're on your own. You feel like things are not quite going as you thought they should go. And therefore, you feel the pressure. You feel the disempoweredness. You feel like you don't have control over what's happening in your life. Right? Yeah, you feel like that. But God said to us before He left, He said, I will not leave you orphaned. That's important, huh? I will not leave you orphaned. And we need to know and understand that God, when He left, or Jesus, when He left, He sent the Holy Spirit as the one who would walk with us, counsel us, take us to wherever we should be. And if we do collaborate with the Holy Spirit, I promise you, and this has happened in my own life and is happening in my life at the moment, my collaboration with the Holy Spirit has really taken me to places that I didn't particularly want to go, but I went, okay? And I'm so much better off since I've been, seen, and done, and collaborated with the Holy Spirit. Now, let's turn in the Word of God to John chapter 1. The Word of God in John chapter 1, verse 1, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was God. He was God in the beginning. Through Him all things were made. Without Him nothing was made that has been made. In Him was life, and that life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. All right? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. All right? Now, based on some studies and understanding of this portion of Scripture, one begins to realize that who was with God in the beginning? Who was with God in the beginning? The Word, all right? And then it says the Word was with God, and the Word was? God, all right? And then it goes further, and it says that He was with God in the beginning, and through Him was all things made. And without Him, nothing was made that has been made. So in other words, He spoke things into being and they happened, all right? Further down it says, it became flesh and dwelt amongst us. Now that flesh part is Jesus, right? He came down and He dwelt amongst us. He came to live amongst us. He came to do some specific task. One was to show us how to live as men in the earth, as women in the earth. Two, He came to sacrifice Himself, pay the price, so that we don't have to pay that price. And then thirdly, He left. Okay? Now, this is the point I want to make here. He never really left. All right? He came. He was in the beginning. He was with us. He dwelt amongst us. But He never left. What did He say? Let's go to John 14. Okay, John chapter 14 from verse 15. If you love me, you will obey what I command. And I will ask of the Father, and He will give you another counselor to be with you. To be with you forever. The Spirit of truth, the world cannot accept Him because it neither sees nor knows Him. But you know Him. for he lives with you and will be in you, and I will not leave you as orphans. Remember I said that earlier? I will come to you. Verse 19, before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me, because I live, you also will live. Let's just think about that for a moment. The world won't see me, but you, the sons of God, the blood washed. What does the word say? We will see. Verse 19, before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me, because I live, you also live. That is a very important, because how do we, you know, what is concerning me at this point in time is that there are people that have been serving God for long time, for hundreds of years put together. They've been serving God 40, 50, 60, 70 years. And it's sad to say that some of them have missed out on opportunities, yes. But also some of them are coming to a point in their lives where they're beginning to feel as though, am I wasting my time? Have I wasted all these years serving God, and it looks like my life has sort of come to a big fat zero? I'm just feeling as though I've just not achieved what I think I wanted to achieve. And I often sit, because I've been around the things of God for so many years, I sort of have the confidence of quite a few men of God and women of God that have been around for a long time, and I listen to what they're saying. And these are people that I never would have expected would have uttered these kind of things and saying, you know what, that word, am I wasting my time? You know, this is like after 20, 30 years with the Lord. But listen, before we criticize and judge, these are real issues that people are facing right now in the earth, all right? Our brothers, our sisters are out there, and they have what I call the slave mentality, all right? The orphan mentality, that feeling that you've been cut off, feeling that you're disempowered, that you don't have any power, that you're powerless, that you don't have any control. But I want to encourage you this morning with this one thing, that God has not left us orphaned. We are not alone, even though your feelings suggest that you are alone. The Word of God is truth, and that is what we cling to. That is what we hold on to. Now, I promise you that I have felt being alone. My whole life, as a child, I was abandoned in 2 weeks. I was born 2 weeks, and I was abandoned. My mother decided, and bless her soul, I'm talking about my biological mother. She had this child that was born to her with green eyes and a very light skin, okay? Now, the rest of my brothers and sisters are all dark-skinned and very brown eyes, okay? And she still hasn't told me the full story, but we'll get to that one day. So her husband, who is as dark as the night, said to her that this light-colored child here, I do not want this child in my house, all right? That's me. So at 2 weeks old, I got dropped off at some alcoholic lady's house who ran a shebeen, okay? I got dropped off there, all right? And obviously, I'm 2 weeks old, I know nothing. It's not like I'm telling you as though I was there. This story was told to me, all right? So there I am, laying clueless of what my life's going to be ahead. And orphaned. I technically do not have any parents now, because they've given me up. They've dumped me off, all right? They've left me. Then a lady comes along who does door-to-door evangelism, you know? That was my biological mother that dumped me, but my spiritual mother who raised me went door to door and came to the shebeen and saw this child laying there, okay? And then she asked, you know, can I not just take care of that child? Just while you guys are busy with your shebeen business, I'll take care of this child, you know, which was me. And that woman took me in, and I think I stayed. By the name, my name was Shane when I was born, Shane. That's what my name when I was born. I got hold of my original birth certificate, and my name was Shane. And then she took me in, kept me for a few months, and didn't realize how much she loved me. And she wanted to keep me, all right? So she went through the whole adoption process. Now, at that time in her life, she was pretty much an old lady already, all right? So when you, as an old lady, want to adopt this young, handsome child, you know, you run into some trouble. You run into some trouble, okay? You run into some trouble because the adoption agencies, you know, in South Africa, you can forget that you applied for adoption for a child. That's how long it takes, okay? You have this child staying with you. You applied for adoption. It looks like 20 years later, somebody comes along with a piece of paper, says, now the child is actually yours now. That's how long it takes in South Africa. But in any case, she went through the entire process and I got adopted. And God brought me into a family where all the kids were all married off and old already out of the house. So I was an only child. Just think about this. Only child, mother and father, great jobs, nice income. I have just about everything that I could possibly have dreamt about. This is how God undertook for me. All right? I should have been an orphan. My life should have gone a particular way. But God worked in somebody's heart to change my whole life. All right? And by that, this is how I got into the kingdom of God. Do you understand? Now, then getting a teenager, I had problems with forming relationships with people. Okay? Guess what was always uppermost in my mind? What was uppermost in my mind is, I don't want to form a strong bond with anybody because what's going to happen? They're going to leave me at some point. Okay? And that's how the devil ministered to me very clearly. And so, guess what? My marriage failed, my relationships failed, everything failed because of this thing. All right? That I can't form bonds, can't form relationships. And then, as it went on, God began to deal with me. See, I'm talking about real things this morning, all right? I know we like to gloss over it and say, it didn't happen. It did happen, all right? So, know this one thing, and I'm talking out of experience, that God does come through for you, even though you're not in control. As that little baby laying in a shebeen, I was not in control of my life. But God was in control of my life. So I want to encourage you this morning to know that God has not left us orphaned. Doesn't matter what our circumstances, doesn't matter how tough and how difficult things are that you are going through, God has not left you orphaned. He sent His Holy Spirit. Now I want to go a few steps back where it says, remember the Word is alive from the beginning. It is active, all right? I will ask the Father and He will give you another counselor, the Spirit of Truth. Now folks, I often talk about the Holy Spirit, but the Holy Spirit has become real to me because I have formed an intimate relationship with the Holy Spirit due to my history of being unable to form relationships. Do you understand where I'm going with this? I could not form relationships with people, even in the kingdom. I struggled. You know, I would keep you there. I would keep you there. You're my brother, you're my sister. I love you with the love of the Lord. That's it. This is the line. Okay? This is the line. This is how far I love you, you know? Not across that line. It was to protect myself. Because you know what it's like when you really love somebody and you really care about somebody and they drop you? It's not great, huh? Doesn't feel too good, all right? You feel like you want to do something to them, with them. You feel like you want to dispose of them in ways that are unimaginable, all right? That's how it feels. It's like your heart's been ripped out, all right? But let me tell you, the Holy Spirit has come and has taught me the truth about firstly who I am. Because you need to know who you are. Amen. That makes you who you are. You need to know who you are. And the Holy Spirit, you know, I like this. It says a counselor. And a counselor translated basically somebody who walks alongside you. Somebody who's there. Somebody who can interpret what you're going through. Somebody who can give you some wisdom and insight. Somebody who can guide you. Somebody who can be there right with you. And that is why I challenge people all the time when they say they are coming into the presence of God. You are not coming into the presence of God. You are in the presence of God. Amen. I will never leave you nor forsake you. I will always be with you, even unto the ends of the earth. So we can't make rubbish of what God has said by us coming and going out of the presence of God. We're either in or we're out, but we can't be both. You can't come and go in the presence of God. I like that because it's nice to have a father that's there with me 24/7. It's nice to have a father that cares about me, that's there all of the time. And he takes different forms. And right now, His form is the form of the Holy Spirit in the earth, helping us. Remember, Jesus said, it's your advantage that I go away, but when I He that comes will teach you and tell you and lead you and guide you about everything about me, Jesus. All right? And so, doesn't this interest you that Jesus said it, and he says this about the Holy Spirit? Jesus said, I only do what I see my Father do. All right? And this is what he said about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will tell you whatever it sees me do. So it will take from me, it will look at me, and it will declare it to you. All right? And I picked that up after becoming a father. I realized why Jesus talks about seeing what my Father does. Do you know that kids pick up not what you say, but what you do? Right? So it doesn't matter. You can preach to those kids 24/7. They're not going to pick up on the preaching. They're going to pick up on the what you're doing. Okay? Now, I have a lovely friend of mine who swears like a matruus. No? He cannot understand why his children are swearing. He can't understand. He says, these children just swear all the time. I can't understand it. And he uses the entire alphabet. He's got swear words that I didn't even think about. And I keep telling him, it doesn't matter what you say. If you are going to continue to swear like that before in front of your children, you cannot expect them to be any different. And that is why I believe, see, God is wise and his wisdom is awesome. That is why when Jesus talks about what I see what my Father do, that's what I do. It's because he picks up exactly the entire nature of God gets picked up. Now, I've checked this out. You know, we're also in the process of adopting children. And the middle one, Malik, is so attached to me, but he and I had the bond. You know, he was, 2 weeks seemed to be like a popular number with the Lord. 2 weeks. He was 2 weeks old when his mother, who was a drug addict, also abandoned him. All right? And so here I'm going to Red Cross Hospital with this two-week-old baby who has pneumonia. Okay? So I go there, completely oblivious of what God is doing, and I take this child to the this is like 2 o'clock in the morning, because I don't know, the child is not breathing properly, so I go. What do I know about children? So I go there, and they strip this poor little baby down to nothing, and they put him on this little, it's a metal table. They put him on there, and they do the whole examination thing. And so this little baby grabs me by this little finger here. Okay? And I lost that battle from that day forth. Okay? He grabbed this little finger of mine, and he held on it like dear life, you know? And I just formed a bond with him. And so guess what? He's now lived with me. He's now 9 years old, and he's still with me. Still haven't adopted him. I told you how long the government takes to give you adoption. So he's staying with me, and I have some paperwork to say that he can stay with me. But the lovely thing about this is, I can talk as much as I like, but he is exactly what I am. In his mannerisms, God is still dealing with me. I have a little bit of a short fuse sometimes. I lose it sometimes. And he loses it also sometimes. And the two of us have to discuss this, because we can't go on through life just losing it all the time. We have to get it together. Okay? So. But he picks up from what he sees me do. And so I'm very conscious about it, very, very conscious. And so everything I do, even my language, even the things I say, even about talking about other people, I also think about what I'm saying here. Because guess what? He's going to tell Uncle Shane, my dad said. And then I'm going to have to explain this to Shane, okay? That's going to be rough. Because remember, kids don't understand context, eh? So don't try to explain context to them. They're just going to say it the way it is. All right? You might have meant well, but they're going to tell the full story, okay? So be careful about what you say in front of children. So Jesus always saw what the Father did, and he perfected it on earth. The same way the Holy Spirit has been sent as a counselor, Spirit of truth. And watch, the world cannot accept him. Why can the world not accept the Holy Spirit? Have you thought about that for a moment? It says, the word says the Holy Spirit, what's the function of the Holy Spirit? To go out and convict men of sin. Okay? That is why, you know, my outreach program is very simple. I only reach out when the Holy Spirit tells me to reach out. I don't just go hand out tracts and run wild. I don't do that. I find it more effective. I find people are receptive and ready to receive that which the God has for them when you move with the Holy Spirit. So it might be 10 people you meet on one day, that's fine. It might be nobody you meet that day, but if it's working with the Holy Spirit, you find that person is open to the Holy Spirit. He's ready to receive. I picked that up from my mother as well. She would stand in a bank queue, and for some strange reason, she would just open up a conversation with somebody, and that person was completely open to receive that which she had to say. And I picked that up and be encouraged. But the world doesn't appreciate the Holy Spirit the way we should. Okay? Now, we are supposed to make a difference in this earth that we are living in. Do you agree? And the question right now is, the next question is, are we making a difference? Are we making a difference? Some of us are not very clear, but that's cool. Let's just go back to that. I'm going to go further. John 1 again. Let's go back to John 1. Remember, we're talking about the truth, okay? Verse 16, John 1, verse 16. From the fullness of his grace, we have all received one blessing after another. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. Did you catch that? The law came through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, but God, the one and only, who is at the Father's side, has made him known. Verse 12 says, yet to all who receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor human decision, or husband's will, but born of God. That's very important, eh? I'm talking about the Word was from the beginning. I'm talking about the Holy Spirit that's walking next to us, that's helping us to understand this Word and to walk with this Word and to work with this Word. But also, this Word is obviously alive and active. It's not a dead Word. It's alive. It's a living Word. All right? Therefore, we have the Holy Spirit that guides and helps us and takes us to the next level. But also, remember I said earlier how we see ourselves? And the word here in verse 12 says, yet to all who have received him, to those who have believed he has in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. All right? Now, I need you to understand that you need to see yourself. Doesn't matter how many years you've been serving God, doesn't matter how long or how short, but you are children of God if you have believed in his name. And you've confessed your sins, and you have now been empowered to become a child of God. All right? But then you don't remain children. You need to mature. You need to grow up in the things of God. All right? And that's what the Holy Spirit does. He takes you from your infancy stages in the kingdom of God and matures you. All right? Because it's in that maturity that your strength comes to deal with life. The sad thing of most of us is that for many years, we get old in terms of chronological age. We get old, but we don't learn much in life. So we're not really wise, we're just old. Okay? And an unwise old person is a dangerous individual. All right? That's why wisdom is so critical. I'm not going to go further on that because it seems like some people know exactly what I'm talking about here. But we must understand that with the Holy Spirit comes grace. Okay? And grace is important. Jesus came to do what? He came to fulfill the law. He came to fulfill the law. And so the law, the terms and the terms and conditions, the TNCs, have been met in terms of the law in Jesus Christ. We don't have to meet any of those terms and conditions. All right? That is why you need the Holy Spirit to keep you on track. Because guess what? Some of us want to pay those prices. No? Some of us want to do what Jesus did. Because we feel we've been so bad. I've been such a bad person. I need to do something about it. Do yourself a favor and spend some time understanding grace. Yeah. It is big. It is big. Let's go to Hebrews 4:12. Uh, Okay, remember I said the Word of God is alive. Verse 12 says, for the Word of God is living and active, sharper than any two or double-edged sword. It penetrates even to the dividing of soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and the attitudes of the heart. I always miss that last part. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Okay? I love the first part where it says, it's double-edged sword, penetrates even dividing soul and spirit. Okay, and that's where I stop, because that's my thing. I like that. I like the whole thing about the Word being alive and active. But the Word has a very important function. And some of our deep-set problems that we're walking with in our own personal, individual lives is that our thoughts and attitudes of our heart, we don't allow the Holy Spirit to get to that part of our being. We kind of keep him away from it. And what I'm saying, suggesting here, is that the Word of God is active. And when the Word says here, judging, it's not talking about condemning. It's not talking about condemnation here. The word judging here means to assess the thoughts. Okay? Assess the thoughts and the attitudes. So in other words, this is a gracious moment for the Holy Spirit to come in, for the Word of God to come in and actively look at those areas in your life that needs adjustment, that needs change, that needs grace to be applied to. So he's not, while we're still alive and active, we have lots of opportunity to deal with the things in our lives. Now, thoughts can be very destructive. Thoughts. This up here can be very destructive, because what happens is we often feel that our thoughts rule us. Okay? How many times do you, and I'm not talking about conscious thinking now, I'm talking about that unconscious thoughts, those deep-set ones that lay right, and this is what the Word is talking about. He's judging the attitude of the heart. Doesn't the Word somewhere say the heart is deceitful? And he judges those attitudes. And I said it's not condemnation, it is assessment. God is assessing our thoughts. God is assessing our attitudes. Now, I don't know about you, but some parts in my walk with God, I had opportunities where I struggled to even understand what God is saying. When things got kind of, you know, I felt that lukewarmness, I felt that lack of where God's really going. I didn't know if God is going forward or backwards or what's happening. And a lot of that was in my own thought processes, my own thinking. You know, I often thought that God knew what he's doing and therefore I just follow blindly. But God needs to deal with you as an individual, because your heart is important to God. And what happens inside there is important. What happens inside of you is important to God. In order for God to give you his best, you must be receptive for the best. Do you understand what I'm saying? Yes. You can't put something into a receptor that is not meant for that thing. Do you understand what I'm saying? So if there's a hole in the bottom of a jerry can, you can't fill it with petrol and hope the petrol is going to stay in there. Something wrong with the can, you need to fix the can or get another can. Do you understand? The same thing with God. While your thoughts and your attitudes are out of line, out of sync with where God's taking you right now, you need to begin to say to yourself, then Lord, by your grace, help me with these things. Help me with these thoughts. All right? If your attitude is always down at the bottom, down there, always feeling less, having the slave mentality, in other words, everybody's better than me, I'm not good, I don't feel anything, I've seen people who have it all and still operate and act like a slave. Because it's not about what you have, it's about what's going on inside of your whole being. All right? So people do strange things and do weird things because of their thoughts and their attitudes. Allow the Holy Spirit, allow the living Word to penetrate into those areas this morning. Allow that to happen, because that's what God wants. God wants to take you further. God wants to mature you. But while you are struggling with these things, God needs to deal with those things first. Okay? Stephen Covey speaks about first things first. Okay? First things first, I think that's what he says. So let's deal with the first things first. All right? I promise you, and I believe this with all my heart, that if you allow the Word of God, the living Word of God, and the Holy Spirit, okay? Because remember, Jesus is sitting on the right hand of God the Father. God's in heaven. Jesus is sitting on his right hand. The Holy Spirit is here with us. He is providing us with God's presence. So that is why you and I are not fatherless. We are not orphaned. Because the Holy Spirit represents God in the earth. He represents Jesus in the earth. And so he is with us. He's helping us to mature, to become the sons that God wants us to be. Now, soul and spirit. Let's just go back up to that one now. Spirit is where God is working with. Paul comes and he says, we now know no man after the flesh. Okay? No man. We once did know Jesus in the flesh, but now no longer. Okay? You and I are spirit beings. You need to see that. You need to understand that. All right? And your soul is not particularly pleased with that fact. So your soul is going to be countering all of those, what the Spirit wants to do. And here's where the, what's it called? Free will comes into effect. Free will. Choices. You have a very strong, see, all your life you fed the soul from day one, from birthday, okay? From day one. The soul has been fed with whatever, okay? In some point in time, you came to Christ, all right? The soul's still there, all right? And you confessed your sins, and you were washed in the blood of the Lamb, and you were cleansed, and you were filled, sealed with the Holy Spirit, all right? And now God has touched your spirit, and your spirit is awakened, it's alive, it's active now, all right? But your soul's still here, all right? And then God talks about all the things that you need to do, renewing of your mind, and this is where grace also is very important, in the soulish area, grace. Not condemnation, grace. All right? Because God has paid for all of that. And so the soul will try, but the spirit will be made stronger by the more time you spend with God, by the more time you spend in His Word, by more time that you spend with the Holy Spirit, your spirit will become stronger and stronger. And you'll find your soul will start cooperating with your spirit because this will become the dominant force. All right? And so, again, the Word of God comes and He separates the soul from the spirit. Okay? Because the spirit is the one that God is taking to the next level. From what position are you looking at your life at this point in time? From where is your position? Are you on ground zero, looking up? Or are you in an elevated position so that you can see what God is doing? All right. Now the Holy Spirit has this ability to take you up and give you a bird's eye view of your life and those things that are happening around you. But you must let Him. All right. He's not going to do it for the sake of doing it. You must let Him. There's an ad on TV, I think, where they show everything from a high position. I don't know what the ad is. But it just says your perspective on life is so much different. And that is how Jesus approached His walk on the earth, from an elevated position. Even though Jesus dwelt amongst us, He saw the bigger picture. He saw where we're going with this. He understood why He was doing what He did. That's what empowered Him to be able to do, because He knew where we were going with this. All right? And the same with us and our walk with God. The Holy Spirit is very, very close and dear to us. He is helping us to mature, all right, as sons in the earth. There is an opportunity and a time, and I believe, you know, our world, and you can see it. I mean, the church, if you look at the church in America, the evangelical church in America, if you look at how they've kind of lost the plot a little bit, okay, and you begin to realize that God is busy preparing His people, all right, and we don't know the time or the place when God is going to come. But that is not your and my concern. Your and my concern is changing this earth so that it can be ready for when God comes. Because he's already come in us. Do you understand where we're going with this? God's not going to come one day. He's already here. He's amongst us via his Holy Spirit. And we must definitely begin to make that change and that difference. Now, let's just go back to Galatians 5. 5 verse 22. Now we have the word in us that's alive and active. The word was from the beginning, came in Jesus Christ, filled the earth with his presence, have the Holy Spirit that has come. Jesus left, the Holy Spirit has come back and is with us and guiding us and taking us to higher levels of maturity. And then in Galatians 5:22 it says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against these things there is no law. But don't you think the world needs this fruit that God has been talking about for centuries? All right? And it comes through our relationship with the Holy Spirit. It is produced. All right? Spirit of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against these things, there are no law. So in other words, there's no restrictions as to how much you can love. There's no restrictions as to how much joy you should put out into the world. All right? There's no restrictions as to how kind you should be. Okay? Self-control kind of keeps things, everything in check. All right? Folks, we need to produce this fruit in the earth. And you're only going to get that out of a relationship with the Holy Spirit, because it's produced out of that relationship. I work in areas where people are destitute, where people don't know where the next meal is coming from. Mothers and fathers are drug addicts. Children are drug addicts. Gangsterism reigns. People kill each other for the sake of killing each other. The most chilling thing that I ever heard was a 17-year-old boy tell me, when I encouraged him to go study and, you know, your whole life lies ahead of you, guess what he told me? I'm probably going to be dead at 19. So it actually makes no sense to him to go study and improve his life, because he's going to be dead. That's how he thinks of himself, all right? And I walk in these areas and I just begin to see how people need the fruit of the Holy Spirit in these areas. You can't talk to a drug addict and a person who's destitute and just talk. You need to give him something. All right? And most times, money is probably the easiest thing. You know, most of us pay people off to leave. You know, just give him the 10 rand so he can go. Just give him the food so he can go. Now, I have regular guys come knock at my door, and the request I get is cooked rice, boiling water. If I don't have anything for the bread, at least they got their own bread. They just want something on the bread now. So I have my regulars, okay? But I just realize that giving doesn't solve the problem. You have to give what they need. And the joy of the Lord, peace, kindness, gentleness, goodness, patience. Lord knows we need a lot of patience, huh? Because our world is a mess. And you can't go in there lack of patience, all right? Because guess what? Whatever you do first time around is not probably going to work, all right? And you're going to feel, I'm wasting my time. But let's be patient about what God is doing. The Holy Spirit is working with us so that we can go out there and make the difference in the earth, all right? I'm excited about what God is doing, because I can see that even the little impact that I'm making and you making, it is impact. If we change, I've got a saying with my staff when we meet every Monday morning for the week. I say to them, let's just change one child this week. That's all. Don't worry about the other children, just one child. And that's their attitude towards the day and the week, okay? We're going to go out there and we're going to work on one child and we're going to make a change in that one child's life, okay? And that's all that God requires of us. We're not supposed to win the whole world. We're supposed to win that one person for God. And the next day, and the next day, and the next day. Eventually we will win the world. But you don't start with the world, you start with the one person. All right? Folks, there is a sound of many waters in the earth right now. And if you're walking outside of a relationship with the Holy Spirit, you are not going to hear that sound. You're going to miss it completely. All right? God is with us. His word is alive and active in our lives. And guess what? Because our relationship with Him, we are participants. We are partakers of that word. Because we have the nature of Christ in us. Because we are participants. We are partakers of that nature. So be encouraged this morning. I know I went all over the place, but that's fine because I believe that's what God wants for us this morning. But bear one thing in mind, one thing very special thing in mind, that you are not an orphan. That God is with you and is with you through the Holy Spirit. And as long as you recognize the Holy Spirit and your thoughts and your attitudes allow the Word of God, allow the Holy Spirit to deal with those things. All right? You know what happens to an old person who didn't deal with any of his issues? They get worse and worse the older you get. They do. I work with people. That's why I know. You know? I've got a very old lady who I can see struggles with a particular issue. And when we have real, honest, frank discussions with each other, then she tells me, you know what, I should have dealt with this when I was younger, this particular issue. So, you're never too old, you're never too young to deal with whatever God's wanting to deal with you right now. Because God wants you, God wants the best for you. And in order for you to get the best, you need to comply and collaborate with the Holy Spirit. Because He's the one that will guide you into all truth. And truth is what we need right now. Not another lie, not another package that will give you the best of the best. You need truth right now. Truth in your own individual life. Where am I with God? Where is God in terms of where I am right now? What is the, in what proximity am I to God? Is He in me or am I out of Him? We need to ask ourselves those questions. You know, the longer you are with God, that doesn't mean that things have changed. You need to know about those changes. God needs to change and you need to know about those changes. Things don't just happen to us. They happen for a reason and they happen for a purpose. And that is why God has given us His Holy Spirit to guide us and to lead us. Let's stand. Father God, I just praise You and honor You. Glorify Your name, Father, because You are King of kings and Lord of lords. Your majesty extends from one generation to the other. You are a powerful and an all-knowing God. And Father, I just pray for each one of us here this morning. In the name of Jesus, I pray, O God, that Your Holy Spirit will continue to deal with us in those areas that dealing is needed, Father. Pray for Your grace. Pray for Your mercy. Pray, O God, that You'll produce the fruit of the Holy Spirit in our lives, Father, that we might truly make the impact to those people around us. In the name of Jesus, I pray a blessing upon our lives that maketh rich and addeth no sorrow, Father. I pray in Jesus' name that our eyes will be opened and we will see the things of the Father via the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name. Come and bless us and go with us in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Amen.